I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root artist feature. I have the pleasure today of talking with filmmaker, documentarian, Shantae Robinson. Shantae, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Glad to have you in, Shantae. Let's talk about your start as an artist. So take us to the beginning of when you first had that interest in the camera or maybe even telling stories.
Well, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life when I was a junior in high school. And so I found out about this program at Northwestern University, the National High School Institute. And they had a program in television, radio, film. And I was like, well, maybe this is what I need to do. So got some scholarships, got up there, did a radio documentary about hip hop jazz. And I was like, this is what I want to do. But the production process really took me for a loop. I was like, it takes patience, something that I've learned to have eventually, but didn't have at the beginning. And so when I was at Syracuse, I studied television, radio, film management. And so by the time I finished, I was like, I still want to make documentaries. I don't want to actually do the production, but I want to do documentaries, which now I'm doing the production. I finally found the patience to deal with editing and all that kind of thing. So that's pretty much how it happened. With this Untangled, I just found that there was so much talk about natural hair on the internet for, like, at least at the time when I decided to do it. And so I was like, this could be a documentary. Why not do that? So that's how that came about.
Okay, we'll get into Untangled, but let's go from Northwestern to Syracuse and then to SCAD and here. So take us on your journey from your interest in the production process or telling stories and then getting to the point where you're ready to do your own documentary.
Okay. Well, I've always been a storyteller, verbally written. And so, like I said, I went to Northwestern and then I went to Syracuse. I ended up at SCAD because I wanted to write. You know, at times in my life, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and be like, I got to write this down. So I was like, well, maybe I need to be a writer, you know. So I went to SCAD and I got an MFA in profession. Well, it's writing now, but I got a MFA in writing. And, you know, that most documentaries are based on rhetoric. So that training that I got at SCAD was really beneficial to me in that I was able to create a nonfiction story. Well, that's my plan, to basically tell a nonfiction story about natural hair. So, you know, my training at SCAD really, you know, impacted my desire to do documentary. If anything, what it did also was to prepare me as a professional, as an artist, prepare me to be a professional artist. We did a lot of, you know, pitching and researching about different publications, things like that, that just made you hone that skill, because it is a skill to be able to be an artist in of itself. Like some artists, they can draw, they can paint, they can do all this stuff, but they can't get into the galleries because they don't know how to write an artist statement, you know? So that was a very, very a good move for me, I felt, because I didn't know how to approach people like that. I don't like to ask for things, but I mean, you got to ask for it or she ain't gonna get it, you know? So that's what SCAD did for me. But it's been a long time. I was in high school a long time ago, so going from Northwestern to here has been a long journey, but I feel like I needed to go through that to really find my own voice and be able to be patient with myself in order to produce a documentary.
Well, let's talk about that documentary, Untangled. What is that all about and why is that important to you?
Well, Untangled, Getting to the Roots of a Hair Movement, is about the natural hair movement. I feel like it is a movement, and I personally had questions about the movement. I wanted to know, is it a fad? Are people, because at one point, it seemed like there were these two armies against each other, natural hair, and then there was the people who had processed hair, and they were going against each other to me. At least that's how I saw it, and I was like, that's not right. You know, we don't need to, you know, it's a choice. You're just making a choice. you know, if that's your choice, be happy with it, you know, whatever. So I'm thinking, I'm like, well, you know, we need to start talking about this in an objective way so that people don't feel left out if they don't feel comfortable with that. And I wanted to know from professional people in the industry what they felt about it. And what I found, basically, is one person mentioned that she thinks that we're going to be okay with our choices that we make. So that's like the result of the search that I was after.
This notion of, or I guess the relationship between hair and identity, why is that such a strong thing in the natural hair community, or maybe even the African American community? What is it about this relationship between identity and hair?
I think for so long, people have, well, the dominant culture has been making it out to be that Black people's natural hair is ugly. I mean, if you watch like Marlon Riggs's Tongues Untied or not Tongues Untied. Oh, gosh. Not Black is Black Ain't, but Ethnic Notions. If you watch that documentary, he goes through all like the postcards and notebooks, just a lot of regular everyday things that they would have, like a Black pickaninny on, like food labels, just a lot of things that you know would really impact us. And so when people came out with the perm, it was like, oh my gosh, you know, we have, you know, acceptance. So I feel like it's like we're at a point, why I say it's a movement, is that we're at a point of reclaiming our own natural identity and considering it beautiful. And that hasn't happened since the late 60s, early 70s with the Black Power movement.
What happened between then and now from a hair standpoint that maybe stopped the momentum or maybe caused the need for a new movement, as you mentioned?
I think the Afro was definitely sensationalized. It was a power movement that allowed people to take a stance and say, we are beautiful, I'm Black and I'm proud, but it didn't really resonate with the world or the dominant culture. It was people were afraid of an Afro. You know, when you see a person with an Afro, it's because he's a militant. And then it became popularized, and then everybody started doing it. And then I guess it lost that power that it had, that intimidation power that I guess was valuable at that time. So from there, then, you know, when the fad went away, because it was a fad, when the trend went away, people started doing jerry curls and all kinds of stuff. And it wasn't, they didn't do jerry curls because they wanted to emulate another kind of person's hairstyle. And it was, you know, as dangerous as a relaxer is to your hair, to your scalp, whatever. So it was jerry curls, and then we went back to the relaxers and all that stuff. But I think in between that time, there was those people who held on to their beliefs during from the 70s into the 2000s, and that's how we were able to reclaim it. I mean, if those people weren't wearing, you know, the natural hair, because, you know, I have my cousin's aunt. She's from that period, and they never went back to wearing relaxers. You know, some people just did it and they just kept that drive going. And so we picked up on it and was like, well, you know what, going to school, especially when you learn about Black history, African-American studies programs across the nation. I mean, that's sort of new too. Having African-American studies in college. So that kind of helped bring back this notion of natural beauty.
When it comes to gender and the natural hair movement, it to me seems as though it skews heavily towards women. And most of the conversations take place between women about women and their hair. So if it's a movement that talks about hair, where are the men in this conversation? as it relates to what their hair says about them, I guess in the same way from an identity standpoint, is there the same connection to hair and identity among men as we see with women? Where are men in that overall conversation?
I think men have been accepted, you know, with their natural hair from always, as long as it had to be shaved close, you know, it couldn't be an afro, but it had to be shaved close. But so they had, you know, they dealt with their hair every day. You know what I'm saying? So with women, it's more like we don't know what to do with our hair once it's natural right now. I mean, that's what part of the documentary is about, is that this rise in businesses that are emerging because of this phenomenon right now. It's like, we don't know what to do. Like right now, I just bought some product, you know, and, you know, I'm used to wearing grease in, spray my hair with some water, slapping some grease in it. I'm not too big on all the products and all this. It's kind of overwhelming. But I mean, some of them really work. I found something that really worked for me, and that was exciting. But yeah, you have to try all these products. You have to go to the hair shows. You have to do all this stuff. And that's what the women are doing. For men, what I do, you just slap some grease in your hair and you go about your business, you know? So, but I think there's another role for men in this movement. They have to support the black women, because it's like, if men don't find it attractive or do not compliment women on their hair when they are natural, then women are bound to feel unattractive. You know what I'm saying? So, I remember one person in my documentary mentioned that. She was like, it's going to take a lot of compliments from other women as well as compliments from men to make women who are transitioning from processed to natural hair, or who have cut off all their hair, to feel beautiful. And that's the truth, because what we see on television is not primarily black woman with natural hair. So we don't know. Like, we go to the magazines to see what's hot. You know, we want to know what's in fashion this week, what's in fashion this month, you know, what is everybody wearing, what shoes should I buy, what should my hair look like? That's what we want to know.
Help me unpack the relationship between your hair and your identity, as well as this vanity aspect of it, because you talked about men needing to be more complimentary of women with their hair natural, and women wanting to get more compliments from other women so they feel beautiful with their hair in this way. Help me understand where this vanity component comes in as it relates to the hair, or how you wear your hair as an expression of your identity or your way in which you see the world.
I mean, hair definitely expresses who you are, what you believe in, you know, all those things. But in relation to vanity, I think that's all about it. It's about confidence. I mean, if you don't feel confident to go into a job interview, sit down and talk to somebody confidently, you're not going to get the job. No matter if you're here. I mean, if the world is telling you need a perm, and you walk into the interview with the natural hair, then, you know, most people are not going to be confident. So it's I think it's less about vanity and more about this confidence that we want to create or build acceptance around natural hair, so that people can go into that interview and be confident.
Okay. Talk to me about what you found out as it relates to the industries, or maybe even the resources for this community in Atlanta, because a lot of your conversations have taken place in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So what have you found in that community that has evolved because of this movement in terms of where we are right now?
Well, I chose resources, and resources did dictate that I focused on Atlanta, but I wanted to focus on Atlanta because Atlanta is like the hair capital of the world. All the biggest hair shows happen here. You know, Bronner Brothers is here, Talia Wajid is here, and those are like the two biggest hair shows in the country. And Talia Wajid is for natural hair, Bronner Brothers is for everything else, and plus I'm sure they have natural hair shows over there too. But I found that a lot of businesses are growing, and in like in the documentary, it's with a photographer. You wouldn't really associate a photographer with the natural hair movement, but his work, a lot of it is dealing with the natural hair. His first campaign was based on a natural hair campaign. And so that's interesting. And then the texturized app, or Myvana app from the texturized company, is based here in Atlanta. And that's technology. I mean, it's hair and technology. Definitely we had the stylists do their thing. And then we had, Atlanta Naturals, Atlanta Hair Care. That's a website dedicated only to, finding, it's like a ask, a website that you could find, your natural hairstylist on, or some, you know, you find reviews, you find tips, you know, all this different stuff that you can find. And I feel like, and it's all revolving around this natural hair movement.
Let's go back to the process and you as a documentarian. What did you learn about yourself as an artist, as a storyteller in this process?
I learned that I have patience.
Okay.
I learned that I have developed some patience throughout the years. And then, I have fortitude. I'm definitely going to, you know, say I'm going to do something and I do it. You know, I get it done. That's what I learned.
Earlier, you mentioned that this was a movement and you were talking about maybe other hair fads, or maybe times in our culture where things were more of a fad and not a movement. What do you think it is about this current natural hair moment that makes it more than just a fad?
I think that the accessibility and the knowledge, the internet is crazy right now. Like with all of these, you know, if you have a question, you can ask any question on the internet. Just type it in Google about your hair and it'll probably come up with an answer. You know what I'm saying? So that's another way to keep people, you know, wearing their natural hair. If they can come up with a solution to the problem, then they don't have a problem anymore.
Okay. Okay. And lastly, you're here in Atlanta and you have put down roots in terms of your creative career here in Atlanta. What have you learned about the creative community here in Atlanta?
Well, I love the Atlanta arts community. I feel like there's so much great stuff going on right now. I'm so excited to see what happens in the future. Of course, I want to work with different artists. I've been writing and interviewing artists as well. And I hope to do more of that. I hope that I'm not spreading myself too thin. But yeah, I want to get connected with, you know, I want Atlanta to be on a national platform, you know, where people out there know that this is going on in Atlanta. There's so many shows and a lot of this good and there's bad coming out of Atlanta, you know, or not bad, but different. There's a lot of stuff coming out of Atlanta. So it's just part of the melting pot. It's part of the mix and it's a good mix.
All right. Shante Robinson, director, filmmaker, artist. Let all of our listeners know how they can contact you if they have any questions or just want to keep up with your work.
Well, you can kind of active on Twitter.
All right.
At Shante Robinson. That's Shantay Robinson.
Okay. Shante Robinson, thank you for your time.
Thank you.